is a lady, powerful lady for me in my life. She's my predecessor in Washington, D.C. area. She was definitely here when I got here, and I have really gotten a lot out of her. So I don't know what her message is going to be today. I know it's going to be powerful. This time I'd like to introduce Patricia B.
Good evening. My name is Patricia, and I'm a recovering addict. And first of all and foremost, I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be anywhere clean. I'm having a moment, y'all. It's like I'm flashing. You know, if you ain't there, just hold on. You know, God Almighty. You know, it's easy to, like, pretend it ain't happening, but I don't feel like going through that. And I like to thank Diversity is Our Strength for inviting me to be a part of the recovery process. You know, I was mad at my brother, right, because he called me up and said, look, Rez, we got this topic, and I want you to do this topic, right? So I said, what's the topic, Herb? So he said, looking for recovery in all the wrong places. So let me tell you what. I instantly got an attitude. He couldn't see me through the phone, but I felt offended. And I need to say that. You know, just to free me. You know, I took it personal and I felt offended. I said, you know, do they ever ask me to do something that's got something to do with the fact that I done worked through something? You know, why it always seems like you give me some stuff to talk about that makes me feel like it's a setback? You understand? As opposed to that I've journeyed forward, you know. But he couldn't see me through the phone, so the lady, she called me back on the phone, and I was cussing at her, and it really wasn't her, it was my brother, right? And you know, then I said I wasn't coming, and then I said, okay. You know, my network say, well, you know, you took the commitment, honor it, right? So I'm here. You know, by God's grace, his mercy, he keeps me. You know, because if left to my own devices still, you know, I just celebrated 22 years last month. And, you know, I'm still disobedient, defiant, and rebellious. And when you look at things, you know, in the proper perspective, if you really understand this journey, whenever you're defiant, disobedient, and rebellious, God's blessings don't fully bless you in the manner that you need to be blessed. You can't even be lifted higher to where he wants you to go because you're in the way. You understand what I'm saying? And when you're in here, it says that we surrender. So if I give it to him, I'm talking about all of it, but I don't know how to give it all to him. I keep keeping pieces. You understand? Pieces from yesterday. Yesterday should be buried, but I keep holding on to yesterday. And when you hold on to yesterday's blues, you can't find joy in today. You know what I'm saying? So I just struggle so much with just simply surrendering, you know, and giving God me so that he can work me in a manner that he wants me to work, because he got a destination for me. This ain't got nothing to do with you. This got something to do with me. He saved my life, but he didn't save it for me. He don't care how happy I be. He want me to serve. Do what he ordained my life to be. But because I'm in the way. Because I say, I want some physical, not spiritual. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, now. Now you said it. There you go.
He said, you're going, he said, all right, then keep suffering. You understand? He said, when you give it to me, all of it, I'll work my will in your life. And the kind of joy that I'll give you is beyond this earth. But you know, I'm afraid of change. I don't know about you. If I can't see it, if I can't touch it, I'm having a hard time with it. You understand? You're talking about looking for recovery in all the wrong places. Well, I don't want to work. tell me every so often I got to do a new cycle. You need to go back into the fourth because something you overlooked. Yeah. How you going to tell a nigga that don't want to do no work to work? Oh, I'm a procrastinator. I'm lazy. I want some shit done for me. I need a writer. Can you give me a tape recorder? And then can I get a dictation person that can record it? Because I don't want to do that either. Yeah, how you like that? And I know all that good information because I give it to my sponsees. You understand? Walk like this. But know this. You're going to falter from the walk. Because human instincts going to take you another direction. I don't care how you mess it up. The truth going to set me free. Not you, me. So it don't matter what I say to you. But do I tell me the truth? And when I come in here, am I willing to share with 22 years? I still make bad decisions. Huh? When I become emotionally impaired, I can't shoot no dope. I ain't got no veins. I don't feel like calling my network. I don't want to call Ronnie K in Baltimore. She know me. I don't want to share the pain yet. I'm sadistic. I know what pain is like. I just don't know enough joy. So I can sit in pain forever. I sat in it for 18 years shooting dope. What make you think I don't know what pain is? What I don't know enough about is joy, freedom, and happiness. So you talking about seeking some shit I don't even know nothing about. And then when I get it, it's just a bliss of a moment. Then the pain comes again. Just the other night I was saying, Jesus! Keep being pained up. What you want? You need to come and sit on my bed and talk to me. You need to come yourself and have a conversation with me. Because I'm about to lose my mind. With all this information you done gave me. With all this living you done gave me. I'm too kicked from going over the edge and this shot of dope ain't got nothing to do with it. You can't see the pain in my face. You don't know what I'm going through when you see me. Because I'm not going to let you know yet. I don't want your you should. Do it like this. You should let it go. Don't tell me to let it go. Show me how to let it go. Fuck you mean let it go. Hands off of what? What the fuck you mean? What you done took your hand off of that you wasn't ready to let go? Don't hand me no shit about what you ain't willing to do and ain't even done. Y'all motherfuckers kill me. You good self-righteous motherfuckers that wanna tell somebody how to live and you ain't walked through a motherfucking thing. I mean, ain't even had no pain. Ain't had no motherfucker to walk out your life and you wasn't ready for him to go. You ain't had to bury none of your motherfucking children and you felt like they shouldn't have died, you should have. And you gonna tell me how to fuck to recover. Get you some motherfucking pain. Get you some pain and don't use and see if the pain don't come again. You tell what the fuck you want me to write. I don't feel like it. So I go to motherfucking bingo trying to forget. And get down bingo and can't win a motherfucking game. And and get in bingo, and they trying to figure out because they got a sign now. They got a sign say, no loud outbursts. And I be in that motherfucker, you need to call this motherfucking number. And the security will come right over and say, you can't cuss in here. And I'm like, in motherfucking bingo. They got the fucking patrol. Instead of guarding the money, they guarding me. So I be out to lunch sometime. And I don't want none of you judgmental motherfuckers to hear that I went in the keto line with my motherfucking paycheck and couldn't get out the line because I got stuck like you get stuck when you smoking, motherfucker. It just ain't smoking crack. But I was using and couldn't get off that motherfucker knowing the money was for rent because the fucking first step wasn't on my mind. And fuck the hope step. Talking about something is hoping too. Motherfucker, I am hopeless right now. I'm caught in the grips of a progressive fucking unemotional imaginability move. How the fuck you gonna tell me about the step? It's like going in detox and telling the motherfucker that's toxic. Work the first step. I mean, this shit don't make sense. How you gonna tell a motherfucker that's caught? I mean, goddamn, they say one addict help another without parallel. Identify in, not out. Don't put yourself above me because you ain't walked in my shoes.
That's right.
Don't judge me. Right. Say that bitch crazy. Motherfucker, if you can identify, recognize that I'm crazy, what the fuck does that say about you? Because, I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. They told me the only way to see something in somebody else that has got to reside in you.
Yes.
Now, just because you had better equipped at perpetrating than me, don't mean you sane.
Because
you can walk around and discreetly use yours. You know, when you're in public, you act better. You may not cuss a motherfucker out. And because I'm cussing somebody out, you know that motherfucker do not have that, how to act with all that time. Motherfucker, you ain't me. I do not remember you in the oil joint with me. I don't even remember you motherfuckers in Southeast 1 in cell 34 not with me. My DC is 16639 month. That motherfucker was when the old DC jail was built. The motherfucker, they had rats in that motherfucker and they put the women in the dorm until they made 1010, which is no longer there. And you talking about all of a sudden I'm supposed to come in here in recovery and I'm supposed to be willing every motherfucking day to do the right thing. I mean, that's sick. You know when I'm a do wrong motherfucker. Can you know what the fuck it feel like to get a rush from doing the wrong thing? I get rushes. I don't know about you. Right? So then I decided I'm going to Atlantic City. I'm looking for a recovery somewhere else. I don't feel like talking about another step. I don't feel like calling my fucking sponsor. I don't want my sponsor to tell me, you know that you shouldn't do that. Won't you try this? Won't you pray? Well, fuck it. Your God is yours and mine is mine. I'm riding down the highway saying, God, help me. And if he really helps me, he'll turn the motherfucker around. How you like that? Yeah, he loved me, he saved me. He got a destination for me, so I guess it's all right to go to Atlantic City.
That's what I'm saying.
And I go up there and I go ching, ching, ching. Now they fucked up the whole goddamn Atlantic City. Don't no money come out no more. They just slide out a piece of paper. They take all the joy out of making the noise. You going up there looking for a thrill. You understand? You thrill seeking. Motherfuckers say, find you some recovery. I'm going. It's recovery motherfuckers up there. I'm not alone. And I see them, I go in the casino, they all over doing the same shit with more time than me. So am I supposed to step back and say, oh, I'm in the wrong place? This is not a proper place to recover. Y'all say some silly shit. You know, I just, man, look, all I know is this, what they told me. I don't know what they told y'all, right? But when I got here, they told me that no matter what, whatever happens, who I lose, who I don't lose, what's not given when I want it, that no matter what happens that makes me feel uncomfortable with me, because it's never about you. Whatever I feel that I cannot at that moment deal with, as long as I don't shoot no dope, smoke no crack, I got a chance of getting through the feeling. They ain't say how I was going to go through the motherfucker. They didn't say I was going to fuck through the feeling. They didn't say I wouldn't do that. They didn't say I would not go play keno. They did not say I wouldn't go play bingo. They said don't shoot no dope and you got a chance of getting through. But because I go through it my way, you want to criticize me. Motherfucker, Patricia, you done lost your mind. In order for me to go up the motherfucking highway with a half a tank of gas, going through tolls that cost $40 coming from D.C. to Atlantic City, and not having no resources to get back, do you think I'm sane at that moment, motherfucker? Why would you give me a sane idea? Ain't no guarantees that I'm gonna see anybody that I know to help me get back home. So I called Easy in New York, I need you to go to Western U. Send me money to get home. Or I go downstairs and tell the bus people, my bus just left. Can y'all get me to D.C.? Lies, anything for them to give me another motherfucking token or something and go right back upstairs and hope and pray that I hear you. You talking about, where am I supposed... I go to meetings, I pray, I share, I help somebody with no strings attached, and some of y'all got strings attached. I ain't gonna tell a lie. Some of y'all motherfuckers, I don't know how to help without a tie to it. You know, because my fourth step still says I got the same problem. I got a problem of being loyal and really not knowing what loyal is. I got a problem with being committed and don't know what the fuck commitment is. So I think that when I do this, that when I love you, you'll intuitive naturally love me back. But they said for real, right? Here's the hit. If you love, you love like there is no return. That's loving. And if you get love back, that's the gift. That's the blessing. But I'm not gonna stop loving because you think that I should. I got all these motherfuckers telling me what to do. I'm so confused. I don't even want to go to the motherfucking meeting. I can't share no more. I've been out of meetings. I don't share anymore. That's why I almost didn't come down here, because my mouth, I'm used to, since I've been here, I've talked about where I'm at. I talked about me, not you. I talked about me. I'm trying to figure out what's the problem with me talking about myself. Why you got a problem with me talking about me? You need to learn how to talk about you for real. Stop trying to boost your ass up and take credit for some shit ain't yours. I know you think you got yourself here. I know I didn't. I know it's by grace and mercy that God reached down and picked a motherfucking wretch like me and said, I got something for you to do. You got to seek and find me to get to do it, though. Because he got somewhere in there to tell you that he'll tell you exactly what he wants from you. But you got to seek him. You know, he tell you to seek the steps to learn who the fuck you is. He'll tell you, seek me, so you'll know whose you is. Because I belong to y'all. Y'all motherfuckers don't orchestrate this life. Y'all got an opinion like every motherfucking body. I don't know how many seats in this room, but every motherfucking seat got an opinion and a view and a point. If I listen to all these motherfuckers, I'd go smoke some crack that I never did. Because y'all would have me going in every direction.
Come on,
I want you to do this. And simply say, this what Mike, this is what Veronica do, right? Is the time for me to shut up?
Keep going.
Veronica say, this is what she say. Well, look, and she always call me, right, when I'm in the midst. She always seem, though, we have such a connection, spiritual, that she can feel me, and I'll never tell her. And she always call when I'm at the edge. And what she say is this. She listens with no opinion whatsoever. She always say, whatever it is, it's your decision. Either you're going to make a decision not to keep looking back and have hope and go ahead and trust and have faith in the man upstairs that you can't see, that you can't touch, but you can truly feel, but only if you still. Now, that's too motherfucking much for me. But she said, baby, I love you. And the thing about it is that I know that she does. My heart says so. That she loves me with no conditions. And no matter what I do, she never judges me. If I fuck up every dime, if I get broke and say I'm ready to get put out, she don't say nothing. She always say, is there anything I can do? You know, Cedric always say to me, sis, auntie, I love you. Can I help you? I don't need no motherfucker beating me up when I'm beating myself up. If you see that I'm off the beam, why hit me when I'm already falling down? If you see that my recovery to you, because I know you got to have a perfect recovery to come fuck with me. Or you gotta be walking a fine motherfucking line with no mistakes. Yeah. Ain't no zigzags in your shit like mine. Cause that's the only motherfucking way you cannot, that's the only way you got, you ain't got the right then to judge. They told me that the emblem that they hold with NA is a hand going down and one reaching up. If you can't help pull a motherfucker up out what they in, then leave the fuck alone.
Say that.
You know, I don't fuck with everybody. And don't be mad, it ain't personal. I don't dislike nobody, trust me. Even the motherfuckers that talk about me, I dislike them, I pray for them. But I don't fuck with them, I don't speak to you, I don't hug you. I pray and I ask God to give me strength and wisdom to be able to know when I see you, to try my best to greet you. And I try, but I refuse to fake it till I make it. When I know that you just got finished talking about me, know it, and you come smile in my face like a snake. They say the only time the snake might bite me once, pull me. But if a motherfucker bite me again, I'm the motherfucking fool. Huh. So I have looked for recovery everywhere, and I've also sought it in the literature. I've also been willing to write and try to get better. With me, I can't get better with you. You ain't my problem. My lack of self-acceptance has always been my dilemma. Either I've always been too light, too bright, too fat, too skinny, something fucked up. And I have to be able to accept myself every day. I'm 56 motherfucking years old and I look good as shit. But every day I don't feel like that. Every day when I look in the mirror, I see an aging woman that has taken on a whole new body shape, and that shit don't set well with me. And when I walk out the door and the motherfucker say, you look high. Hi, Miss B. You look awfully good. I say, what the fuck you want? Instead of simply saying, thank you, I want to know what the fuck you want because you lying. I mean, I work where people see me. I got a ton of students. I work at a university. So my students come in my office all the time. And they always tell me, even without my Maybelline, they tell me in the morning that I look nice when I got peace in my face. And I have my inability to accept it because I can't see it, I can't touch it, and sometimes I simply can't feel it. So I hope and pray that I gave all I can get, I got, and I cannot talk past my ability to talk.
She had 10 minutes left.
I have 10 minutes left. And you know, the amazing thing about it is that, you know, you're who you are, and I'm whom I am. And let me share this with you, how this process that I didn't talk about. In my first year, I was going to all the dances. And it wasn't about the steps yet. I was just trying to keep myself acclimated someplace in my life that I would not go to jail and get on the count again. And that I wouldn't shoot no dope. So I hung with the people that went to all the dances. Then in my second year, my 16-year-old son got killed. I just celebrated my second year on March the 6th. He got killed on April the 14th. It has actually been 20 years that he's been dead. And in fact, I just had a hard time. Then I got married in here. A woman that came around me every day, smiling and speaking to me, started sleeping with my ex-husband. And what it did was it wounded me, and it made me real apprehensive about going to women for help. Then my baby boy got 15 to life. And I didn't know what to do with the feelings that I had. My ex-husband was gone, and again, one more time in my life, I felt like I did when my mother left me with my grandmother. I felt alone and abandoned. I didn't know how to tell somebody to help me, walk with me. I felt like somebody simply should just know that I was in trouble. But I kept hearing the people in the room saying, no matter what, you can't use. Then my daughter told me she had cancer and that she was gay. And I wanted her to have a life I never had. I wanted her to have a husband and a white picket fence and a home with children. But what I want, God didn't leave me in charge to set the stage. And I had to have some acceptance because she had a right to be whatever she wanted to be and be with whoever she wanted to be. And I had to love her like I wanted people to love me through all my mistakes. And we became friends. And I got married again. And my husband was smoking crack and going back and forth. And he was a newcomer. And I had all this time people saying, let him live. And I said, okay. But I want to live too, motherfucker. It does not say in the literature anywhere how much time a motherfucker got to have before he married me. And I was trying to figure out, ain't no motherfucker asked you to be their wife, but you gonna tell me to reject the motherfucker. I don't know about you, but I'm a housewife. This program has structured me where I'm a cook and clean and stay home woman. And one man will do.
Yes. Yes.
one man or two. I'm happy regardless of the pain and the shit that we go through. I want one man. One. Not fucking one at a time. I want one. So I'm doing my part. I don't need to run the street. I don't need to hang out. I ain't got to be on every set. I'm trying to work on having a marriage and a relationship and a friendship. Or should I say a friendship, a relationship, and then a marriage. And I can't let people that are outside that don't have either one of us best interests at heart to get in the middle. So I'm not looking for my recovery in that part because marriage is not in the literature. They say we share our experience, our strengths, our hopes, and they also tell you this, that you work in the steps, not me. You're working the steps. A sponsor's job is not to be your financial advisor, not your fucking marriage counselor, but to take you through the steps.
All right. I gave it to you. Yeah. I'm Ronnie. I'm still an addict. I want to give Patricia another hand. I want to thank her for sharing. That's what I grew up on. I'm the class of 89, and I came in and she was here. I should have told you to hold on, really. At this time, I want to introduce our next speaker, a young man I haven't seen in a long time. And I haven't heard Dennis's story, actually, but I'm going to introduce Dennis L.
I'm an addict. My name is Dennis L.
Hi, Dennis.
And I am a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous.
Yes.
Yep. But I'm more grateful because Narcotics Anonymous has brought me closer to God and my understanding. Yeah. Let's thank Patricia again, right? Yeah. Look, I don't know if y'all really noticed just what just happened, right? You really got two for one. All right? Yeah, she dropped it like it was hot. And then came right back and burnt the motherfucker up. Yeah, yeah. I kind of like this, you know. I liked it myself, you know. Because this is one of those topics that's, you know, it's like fucked up. You say, looking for recovery. Ryan, check this out. In all the wrong places. And if you got the disease of addiction like I got the disease of addiction, every motherfucking thing is the wrong place. Ooh, we dag, Pat, you know you shit. I should have known. We some of who gonna go first and shit. She said, I'll go first. I ain't got shit to say. Fuck, huh? I mean, I ain't scared of nothing you dig, right? But, you know, the sister came here and, you know, she like went from A to Z and then come right back and said, fuck A to Z, let's do 1 through 1,000. You know, she like hit the whole spectrum of this shit, right? So I ain't got nothing to talk about but me. Yeah, yeah, she's talking about style. Oh, I hate to fuck that. Yeah. Looking for a recovery in all the wrong places, right? Well, I got the topic right, and immediately, right, I eliminated the word. You come on up now, right? Immediately, I eliminated the word recovery, right, and I put love in there.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, let me say, I put the word love in there, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Yeah, yeah, and I can identify with the love piece, right? Because for a long time, I thought the way I loved you was part of my recovery. That went over your head, I know it did, right? Look, for a long time. For a long time, right? A long time. Kind of like some shit you hear on stage. A long time. For a long time, I thought, you know, I equated my love with my recovery.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you some real shit here, right? Yeah, I'm going to free like a motherfucker right now. I had about 18 months in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, right, Pat?
Yeah.
18 months, and you know, I was very fortunate. I got clean in Chicago, back in the Midwest, right? And I was very fortunate at a young age in recovery to have the opportunity, you know, to like get to know people, right, Si? I was knowing people, and people knew me, and, you know, I was, you know, like, going around the different places, right? And I saw y'all in recovery.
Faking
like a motherfucker, right? Y'all was in recovery, right? And y'all was like, you know, sharing at the podium, and you know, you had, you know, like the big NA medallions, right? With the, you know, the diamonds and shit in them. And I said, you know, I got to get with that clique, that they recovering. And then they had like girlfriends and shit, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, you know, I ain't had nobody. Oh, like y'all had somebody 18 months, huh? Like I didn't have nobody, right? You know, like, you know, and I was like, you know, I got to get me somebody.
Right.
You know, I was looking. Alone, I looked and I found her.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and Boo, that's her name, right? We're going to call her Boo, right? It's anonymous, right? That's what y'all said, it's an anonymous program. So I met Boo. Boo, yeah. And then, look, me and Boo was like, you know, recovering.
Yeah.
You know, like Boo became my like my higher power.
Yeah. That worked for
me. Yeah, and Boo was like, you know, we was an item.
Yeah.
People see me, how Boo? Boo doing fine. Boo, how Dennis doing? Dennis doing fine. So, you know, we was like stuck together, like white on rice. You heard that before, right? Yep, and some things began to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And I forgot, you know, I hooked up with Boo, right? I forgot that I had the disease of addiction, you dig?
Yeah.
I forgot that, you know, the disease of addiction is based on obsessiveness, right?
Yeah.
Compulsive behavior and, you know, total self-centeredness. And it works high and wide. They use a word called denial and shit, right?
Come on, bro.
So I don't forget. So, you know, we made these big lavish plans to get married. We were sponsoring each other by then, right? We said, we're going to get married, right? Yeah, true story. You say you never heard the story, but here it is. So me and Boo said, we're going to get married, right? Because, look, this the hit, right? Like, back in Chicago, right? I mean, we was going to various conventions, right? You know, and we was like an item, right? And we was like, you know, dress up in his and her outfit. Like this, true story. We went to a convention up in Milwaukee, right? Their very first convention, right? Like 18 years ago at their first convention, right? And we had these big orange-ass T-shirts. Mine said, I'm with her. And hers said, I'm with him. Now, what you need to know about the orange color, right? It was a color that I strategically picked out. Yeah, because if her ass got too far away from me, I could say, there she go. Boo, what you doing? Let's go to the meeting, boo. You know, so we got these orange T-shirts, right? And, you know, we was doing our thing, right? And I forgot I had this addiction, right? And you know, Boo had become my new drug of choice.
Talk about that.
Oh, it's about to get hard in here, right?
Come on,
yeah, Boo was like my new drug of choice, right? Because, you know, it was kind of like, you know, shit, that was my girl.
Yeah.
Shit, I couldn't live without Boo. You know how you been smoking crack, right? Like you take one hit and say, I'm going to sit it down. Then you take another hit and say, I'm going to sit it down. And then you never sit it down. Well, it was kind of like that with me and Boo, right? We weren't smoking each other, but I couldn't let her go. Because, you know, once I got started, I just couldn't stop. I can't stop. Oh, I can't stop. We're in a meeting. Oh, I can't stop. So, you know, I got obsessed with Boo. You know, I'm talking about just my recovery. I told you I flipped the fucking topic and put love in there, right?
Hey, babe, this your time.
So here I am, right? I'm caught up, and I don't realize what's really taking place here. Because what's really going on, right? You know, I'm being aggressive in the relationship. You know, I don't know I'm causing harm in the relationship. You know, I don't know that, you know, because I'm so into the relationship thing, you know, that it ain't got nothing to do with love no more. You know, and you know, I live in D.C. now, and they call this thing, they call it tree boxing. You know, yeah, I don't know what y'all call it in Philly just yet, or Atlanta, right? But they call it tree boxing. But in Chicago, they call it stalking, right? Yeah, they call it stalking, right? So here I am. I'm like stalking, boo. Look, she got, don't go too far, right? And I didn't know. And when you know, boo put like a what they call that? Say it again.
Stay away.
So my story is true. Cause that motherfucker didn't know what that is, huh? So she put a restrict, you know, order on me, right? Now I got, because I mean, we made these plans to have our big, you know, NA wedding and shit, man. I mean, we was going to have a 7-tier cake, right? You know, with the NA emblem up top, shooting out Welch's grape juice and shit, right? And we was going to invite the whole fellowship there, and y'all was going to say, just for today. I fucked that up, though, huh? So, you know, she put this order of protection on me, right? And I'm living large at like 18, 19 months, right? I'm living large at my mama's house in the basement. I ain't got no spot, but I'm living large. This disease is a motherfucker. Right? I'm living so large, and I'm living in my mom's, and you know, and I know I can't, like, go see boo, right? You know, I'm hurt. I'm afraid. I'm all alone in a house with six sisters and a mother, right? But I'm alone in the basement. Y'all ain't feeling me, right? I'm talking about being so disconnected from the process of recovery, right? That here I am in a house full of people, right? And I'm still alone. Look, I'm thinking I'm alone because boo ain't with me, man. And I'm at her, my mother's house, you dig? And I'm in the basement, and like somebody begin to like talk to me. I don't know. It's like I call it my alter ego now. Right, and it was talking about, you know, we know you got the order of protection on you, right? It's the month of February. If you ever been to Chicago in the month of February, it's two things happen in February in Chicago. First thing, it's cold than a motherfucker. Second thing, snow up to your asshole. So here I'm at my mama's, I'm experiencing all these feelings, right? And my alter ego began to talk to me, right? And it says some shit like this. Let's go see what boo doing. I said, no, you know, I ain't no fool. You know, she had a protection on me. Ain't nobody gonna know but you and me. No, I ain't going over there. Fuck that shit. Fuck that. Look, we can go right now and come right back. No, I don't want to go. You know, but I'm hurting. You know, I ain't recovering. You know, because boo is my main source of greatest sense of courage right there. Look, boo is my high power. That's how I got to recover. I can't recover without, fuck it, let's go. So me and this alter ego, right, we left my mother's house. And back at that time, I had a gremlin car. Anybody remember them gremlins? I'm talking about them cars with a whole bunch of windows on it. Yeah, think way back. Right, and my alter ego said, look, why don't we do this? Let's dress up in all black. Now, stay with me. I don't want to lose nobody, right? Now, imagine this. Here, I'm black than a motherfucker, right? I got a black ninja outfit on. It's really a jogging suit, right? Right? And I'm in this gremlin car with all these open windows in it. And the backdrop is full of snow. I'm coming from the south side of Chicago to the west side of Chicago. But look, my alter ego say, can't nobody see us but you and me. So I'm in the grill and we get in the car and I from the south side to the west side, right? It's about a good, 35, maybe 40 minute drive, right? So I'm in the car and I'm easing over to the west side. Now, I don't know what's about to take place because I'm in love. I'm alone. I can't recover without boo. Yeah. Y'all, I'm about to get real spiritual with y'all right quick, right? Because this is where it gets like real emotional and timey for me, right? I truly believe that, you know, sometimes God has to take everything away from us, right? So we can see who the great I am is. You want to recover? I'm going to help you recover. So here I am, I'm on the west side, right? And I get there, right? And I'm sitting, you know, the order of protection said you got to stay, you know, with the 100 meters feet, right, from Boo and her family and her residence. So my alter ego said, let's park 101 meters away. Now, I love the Chicago police. They say we serve and protect. I'm sitting in front of Boo House, right? Matter of fact, I'm looking. This was this one window, right? Was the bedroom window, right? That was the window where we, like, did our thing. Now, it's about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm there, right? And I'm just sitting and looking. I'm, like, up, you know, affixed on this one window. You know, I just want to see some go by this window. I want a light, come on. You know, somebody walk past. I want to see some, but, you know, I don't know what's going on. So the police come to the car. He knocks on the window. He says, sir, is everything all right? I said, officer, everything is just fine. Sir, can we see some ID? Officer, look, here, take the ID. I give this cop my wallet with my ID, but I couldn't stop looking at that window. I can't stop looking at the window. He says, sir, he said, well, look, you know, you really ain't supposed to be over here. So I had like 19 months clean, and I went to jail. Yeah, I'm rubbing my stomach because jail's a motherfucker, man. Ain't shit changed after 18 months, right? So I go to jail, right, and my sponsor comes in, you know, he bails me out. And this is what he says. He says, so what you going to do now? I said, man, when I get up out of here, I'm going to go holler at Boo. He said, you going to do what? I'm going to go holler at old girl. It's her fault. Shit, she don't want to be with me. I can't recover. It's her fault. I'm in jail. He said, I tell you what, you can spend another day or two here and you figure out what the fuck you really want to do. So this is where the spiritual part began to come, right? See, I really thought as long as I had somebody outside of me to validate me, right, I was truly recovering. I'm a product of the lynch, right? And I want to share this real quick, right? And I need to read it out the book because, see, I know it's the NA police in here. And if I fuck this up, they're going to say, book them, Dano. They say it's about three or four. It's a whole squad of them motherfuckers. Huh? So check this out. So look, I really got into our literature, right? And this is some deep shit on page 4 in the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous. This is the 5th edition. We got some new shit. That's right. This is what it says. It says, we dreamed of finding a magic formula that will solve our ultimate problem, ourselves.
That's it.
For a long time, I looked outside of me to find something to help me. I'm talking about not being able or capable, right, of getting in touch with what God wants me to do.
Baby.
I'm talking about not being able to practice a simple spiritual principle called surrender. Yeah, surrender. I don't mean I'm a coward. Don't mean I'm a I don't know how to surrender to what I'm dealing with. Because, see, I ain't ready to accept what God got for me. I can't find no hope. What you mean hope? I'm being hopeless. Boo ain't here.
You better share.
And you said it. And all y'all was telling me, it's going to get better. It's going
to
get better. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about Boo. It's going to get better. But when I was like going through the pain and the emotions, right, just to hit, it ain't the pain. And I never felt the pain coming in. I felt the pain going out. Yeah, I began to surrender to some shit that was outside of me. They say recovery, right, is an inside job. Yeah, I know the principle that it takes, right, to look for recovery in somebody else. I believe in our literature. Look, God, look, fuck this. This is some new shit here, right? Oh, look. Oh, this is some. Look. Look, this the 11th step right there. I ain't trying to, you know, bash at nobody or recovery, right? But I'm talking about what our literature says. If you just check this out. If you trust what you believe, why you can't believe what you trust? Man, when I got here, look, I used to hang out with motherfuckers like named Doobie, Black Ralph, Lil Mike, and Scooter Bug. We used to get high in Zip's basement, you dig? Zip had the best motherfucking plastic furniture in the neighborhood. He had them milk crates, you dig, right? He had some, you know, some wood on top of the milk crates. Looked like some goddamn brand new living room furniture. I say, shit, Zip, you the man. God damn. Oh, I'm gonna find this shit. I done opened it up. Look, they eyes on me now and shit, right? It's a whole squad of you motherfuckers in here, right? Oh, I know. Look, on page 112 in the flat book, this some deep shit. I'm talking about how I did not know how to love me because I had to have somebody outside of me to make me feel good. So I could, because I wasn't doing that, I didn't know how to surrender. I was in a state of hopelessness, right? I mean, I was like caught up in the grip of a continuous vicious cycle. And it says here, as it says, and it works how and why. God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. I want to focus on the word priceless. Look, when God touches you, right, what he puts inside of each and every one of us, right, it's priceless. Can't no man, woman, child, dog, or a shot of dope take it away. So I began to like grow into the process of understanding what recovery was, but most importantly, what stopped my process into recovery. I began to understand that what God wants for me is what I want for myself. Yes. Look, this is it. I want to be happy, joyous, and free. Yes. Fuck that. I don't know how y'all want to feel. I want to be happy, joyous, and free. Yes. Y'all, you heard that before, right? Yes. But look, it's a process just to be happy. Because some days I don't know how to be happy with me. I got to get me a shot tonight, goddammit. I don't know, man. So you know, here in the here and now, God is presenting me with some things, right, to see if I'm ready to be happy with his blessing. Here's a footnote for you. Yeah, here's a footnote. I just got engaged.
Okay.
Whoa. Yeah. Shit. I should have done this shit a long time ago, huh? So I just decided we getting engaged, right? We're gonna have a fall wedding of next year, right? I'm putting it out there on the NA radar, right? But God says, you know what? You really recovering, motherfucker? I'ma see. Okay, you get engaged. Just go ahead and get engaged. Just go ahead with your little happy ass. You know, you've been around the fellowship. You done shared all over the country. You know, outside the country comes out. You just recovering, motherfucker. I said, boy, God, you know you the man. Back in the month of January, right, some things happened that I wasn't like, didn't know was coming down the pipe. Yeah, my future mother-in-law, right, had a stroke. Yeah, a stroke, a major stroke. She was like missing in action for 3 days. To me and my fiance, found her on the third day. On the third day, we found her, right, and immediately, right, I don't know where it came from. I said, she moving in with us. I got a home. Got an upstairs and a downstairs. Had a beautiful master bedroom. My mother-in-law cousin moves into my house, takes the master bedroom. You ready to recover, motherfucker? You ready to recover with your good shit here? Look, you talking about that shit that happened 18 years ago with Boo. Let's talk about this shit in the here and now. All right, God, I'm ready to recover. Well, baby, you know what? Ma here with us now, and you know we got to make sure she go to the doctor and this right. And my fiance said, well, baby, I got that. We just do what we got to do. We gonna make it work. And with my good Sharon is, and I'm in love, we gonna make it work. And it was working for about 3 days. On that fourth day, I got a moment of clarity. Because look, like my house had changed. Yeah, it had changed physically. Like I couldn't go in my master bedroom no more. I couldn't sleep with my fiance no more. Matter of fact, my fiance was sleeping on the couch in the living room, and I'm sleeping in the house in the basement again. Oh, you ready to recover? Yeah. You say you want her, you in recovery now. Huh? Yeah, well, I'm going to see how much you really recovering, right? Because see, what God did, right, he wasn't done. He said, yeah, you doing good. You're recovering ass. God said, now look, I'm going to up the ante. Oh, come on, God. I can't take no more, right? Oh, here comes the push-up. He said, now, in the beginning, it was you, your fiance. I added mama to the scenario. Now, I'm going to up the ante. We're going to add her son to the equation. He's 18 years old. I got a son who's 9 years old. I got him from a previous sister, right? But I got 4 other kids in Chicago, and the youngest one is 22 years old. You want to recover? So I like, some other things begin to happen in the house. Stay with me, y'all. I'm talking about the presence of God. I'm talking about how God comes in, right, and gives us an opportunity, right, to set it in the basic text, only a fleeting glimpse of the person he wants us to be, right? So now I got my future mother-in-law in the house. I got an 18-year-old son in the house, right? I got a 9-year-old son named Kenyatta who comes over on the weekends in the house, right? And I'm sleeping in the basement and my fiance on the couch. And I'm going to work every day. But I got to come home and act like I'm all right. Like it's all right. Like I'm a man. Man, fuck that. I tell my being feeling like you tore up from the floor up, man, coming into your house that you paying a mortgage on, right, that you know you can't even walk around with in your drawers no more. You want to recover? So I'm getting in touch with what my whole purpose is in life. It says, and it works out and why, it says before we get to know God, we got to figure out what our purpose is for God. Okay. Years ago, this was not part of my scenario. I just wanted to stop hurting. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stop hanging out with them motherfuckers in Zip's basement. I didn't want nobody to call me Uncle Funky no more. That's a different topic there. That's a different topic. Oh, Lord. But here I am, man. But here I am, right? Now I'm talking about, looking for recovery, right, in all the wrong places. But I'm talking about how powerful my God is that he said you can't look in no more wrong places. Because you live in recovery. This wasn't part of my story. This wasn't it. Man, look, I just wanted to stop hurting, come in here, have some fun, go to some NA dances, right, and share like a motherfucker. God said no. God said, I got something much more powerful for you. I'm getting in touch with this, right? True story. God has given me the opportunity, I don't know about nobody else, right, to help somebody. Well, check that out, with no strings attached. They use a spiritual principle called unconditional. God has gave me the opportunity to allow somebody who has lived a wonderful life the opportunity to be happy just one more day. I'm talking about what the opportunity that what God has given me, man. And a lot of times, A lot of times I don't like what God gives me, Rashida. I don't like it because a lot of times I can't feel what God has given me. I can't see the blessings of God. I suffer from the disease of addiction. I want instant gratification. Right now. Shit, they move in? Fuck it, they don't move out. But I'm in touch with my purpose. I don't know, you know, that's it, shit. I don't know if I'm supposed to, you know, make y'all laugh all night, because I didn't want to cry all night, and I'll do that in a minute. But I just wanted to share that. Yeah, looking for recovery in all the wrong places. What I thought was wrong, it ain't wrong. Because if you believe what I believe, and if you got the disease that I got right, everything that I touch has the possibility of being wrong. What God presented to me, it ain't wrong. I see the hope, man. I see the hope. I feel the hope. Yeah, you ever, check this out. Check the truth. I'm going to share this and I'm going to hush the fuck up. You ever thought that you were really recovering? Right? And some shit happened to you and you thought you was going to lose your motherfucking mind. I'm talking about like, if your job based on the economical situation gives you a formal letter. Yeah, not a pink slip, but one of them formal letters, right? And say, look, we're going to take away your money. And you thought you was recovering based on your financial status in life. Now all of a sudden, God done took like a lot of my money, and I ain't got a whole lot like I used to. All right. So can I still maintain where I was spiritually? This in the 5 minutes. All right, I look, and this is in light of what's going on in my household. So now I'm talking about, you know, dealing with a spiritual principle of humility, right? Yeah. I'm talking about being humble to a point. To a point where I can accept the blessings of God, not based on my financial status, but on the spiritual status. Because God said, I got you. God said, whatever happens, right, just practice the spiritual principle of acceptance. You ain't got to worry about it. So what? They took your money. Accept it. So what? You got a brand new family structure in your home. Accept it. So what? You ain't, you know, running with the Joneses. Accept it. Most importantly, accept who you are. So God, this is to God. I am truly grateful that he has given me the ability to look, go through what I'm going through, get to the other side, right, and not have no fear about what you think about me. Because my story is my story. Yeah. Bottom line is, as long as I don't use, yeah. I'm all right. As long as I don't pick up, I'm all right. As long as I just keep being me, right? Because I truly believe for every question there is, God is the answer. Why she leave you? Thank you, God. Well, why you getting married? Thank you, God. Why they take your money? Thank you, God. Why you got a whole lot of money? Thank you, God. So look, if you're new to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, right, I would challenge you, right? Fuck, challenge you. I would, look, yeah, this the hit. This the hit, right? If you're new to the Fellowship of NA, right, just don't use and just keep coming back. I'm an addict. My name is Dennis L.